Okay, so I think we can ask this question finally after all these years of conflict between Western civilization, the Christian world, and the Muslim world. Are we ever going to be able to overcome this this bitterness that so many academics and historians that are politically motivated point to the Crusades as the main root cause of the problem? I figured I would bring in a very good friend of mine, Father Bill Nicholas from St. Rose of Lima Catholic Church up in Simi Valley, in the shadow of the Reagan Library, as it were. Father Bill, how are you?
I'm doing good, Brett. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for coming on. So, listen, can this divide ever be bridged? Because after all, we're responsible for all the hostility. We went and did the Crusades, right?
Well, the only way this divide is ever going to be bridged, I think, is if people actually start, learning their history. So much of Western civilization is not known by many of our students and many of our people. And so it's very easy for individuals like the president or other reporters or historians to vilify various aspects of Western history, and especially Catholic or Christian history, as responsible for what's going on. But the Crusades was just one of a series of events in the centuries-old struggle between the West or Christendom and the Muslims. And when you actually look at the history of the Crusades, you realize today conventional wisdom would say that it was an effort of colonization and profiteering and conversion on the part of the West. And actually that notion didn't come into popularity, and it's not, especially not in the mind of the Muslim world, until the early 20th century, if you can believe it.
Wow.
Because the Ottoman Empire at that time was in decline. It ultimately fell during World War One, or as a result of World War One, and it was during that early decline in the 20th century that the European nations started colonizing and started promoting their interests in the region that eventually ended up being the Muslim or the Middle Eastern world that we see today. And it was at that time that they began to see the Crusades through the prism of what was going on in the early 20th century. And, the thing is, the Crusades were nothing like that. They weren't efforts at colonization, but were, in fact, defensive measures against a regular invader of Europe for the past 100 years. I mean, Muhammad died in 632, and already during his life, there had been raids into Christian territory, especially the Byzantine Empire, the Byzantine Middle East. The Holy Land was under the Byzantine Empire, which was Christian, and the Islamic forces were coming out of Arabia. But after Muhammad died in 632, these raids continued in earnest, and Syria and Palestine quickly fell. The coast of northern Africa fell, and within 100 years, Spain was being invaded by the Muslims. And even today, you'll still see in the architecture and some of the culture the effect of the Moorish presence in Spain over history. But over a period of about 400 years, were over 200 battles in Spain alone between Christians and Muslims, and they penetrated as far as France. I think you had at times spoken of the Battle of Tours,
yes,
in which Charles Martel in France repelled a Muslim invasion, and that occurred in 732, just 100 years after the death of Muhammad. So that's how far they had invaded into Europe. Of course, they had ravaged places like Sicily, Sardinia, Corsica, Cyprus, the islands of Crete. They had raided the coast of Italy. They burned villages, killed people, took slaves. And, this is from roughly 632. The first crusade took place in 1095. So we're talking about, 460 years before the first crusade took place. After all those years of raids and menacing in the Mediterranean, Christian Europe decided, it's time to fight back. It's time to take the battle to the enemy in the Middle East. And in the 1091, just a few years before the first crusade, the Normans reconquered Sicily from the Moors, and it gave them, the Battle of Tours and other encounters gave them important experience and knowledge of the enemy, not the least of which is that they can be beaten. And so the first crusade actually took place in an effort to help the Byzantine Empire take back land that had been taken by the Muslim invaders from Arabia. And so the Crusades were kind of a midpoint in this whole period, which in many ways had a positive effect on Europe, because at that time, Europe was also divided between kingdoms. You got the Franks, you got the Holy Roman Empire, you got Great Britain, you got Spain. And by the Third Crusade, you had the King of England, the King of France, and the Holy Roman Emperor, Richard the Lionhearted, Frederick Barbarossa, and I think it was Louis Philip out of France, fighting together against a common enemy. And so in many ways, the Crusades helped unite Christian Europe and had at least that effect. Now, of course, you know, when we look at things through the prism of the 20th century, I mean, things, you know, would look very barbaric.
Sure.
By the civilized manner in which we fight wars today, I suppose, if you were to say that. And so, yeah, you did have certain things that today would be considered atrocities. But remember, these were before the Geneva Conventions.
Right.
And before we had rules of war. But one thing that you did see is when a city was laid siege to, at least by the Europeans, the city was given a chance to surrender. And when they did, the city was taken over. I mean, we saw that, I think, in an episode of Game of Thrones a couple of weeks ago, in which a city was under siege, it surrendered, they came in, and that was it, without any real battle. Things happened frequently in the Middle Ages, and that would happen on occasion in the Crusades itself. When they didn't surrender, then, of course, battle would ensue, and the slaughter, whether at one side or the other won in the battle, would, by today's standards, I mean, be atrocious. I mean, we just have no idea how violent the times were at that. But when it came to the Crusades were not provoked by Europe. They were responses to the regular invasions of the Muslims and were defensive wars. And when you look at the fact that the jihad still continues down to today,
yes,
the Crusades were over a period of 200 years, from 1095 to 1260, less than 200 years, and where you have hundreds of battles, from Tours to Lepanto to battles in the recent centuries. Even Thomas Jefferson, the Muslim pirates were a menace in the Mediterranean, the Muslim navy, until Thomas Jefferson sent the Marines to the shores of Tripoli, which, if you were familiar with the song, that was an early encounter that the United States had with those forces in northern Africa. And these have happened since 632 up to today, whereas the Crusades were just a period of less than 200 years and over a period of 19 battles and raids that took place by the Crusades themselves.
So on balance, if we looked back at it from a strategic standpoint, a success overall, for the most part, we'd have to say.
Well, it generally was a success. I mean, as a result, we had the Crusader kingdoms, such as Edessa, Jerusalem, and these were independent kingdoms financed by Europe. The Byzantine Empire wasn't much of a help in maintaining the land that was won back for them. But over 200 years, that's a long time.
Sure is.
Before the Muslim forces reconquered those lands. And so in many ways, they were successful. And it's a very long, extended history of that part of the world, and both of Europe and the Middle East. And it was a time of great violence, sometimes of great peace. And as we know, legends grew out of that period: the Holy Grail, the Knights Templar, mm-hmm. the Crusader Knights, and so on and so forth. And so it is an important part in history, not necessarily an admirable part. No time of war ever is. But it simplifies the situation when they say the animosity that exists today is because of the Crusade.
Right.
They ignore the first, 600 years,
yes,
of Muslim history. And the Muslims had actually taken land that was Christian from the Byzantine Empire. Palestine and Syria were Christian territory at the time they were invaded and conquered, and the Crusades were looking to win it back for the Byzantine Empire, and a Christian empire.
Well, listen, this is a tremendous insight into the historical facts surrounding this, which I know gets lost, especially when we expect news organizations to actually give us any kind of historical context. I know that can be incredibly challenging. It's just easier to blame we, those in the West, right, and say that we're somehow at fault or facing the blame for this. Where do people go to look at the great stuff that you're working on, Father Bill Nicholas? You got a website where people can check out your homilies, your talks, your thoughts on things. Where do they go?
Yeah, I do have a website, and it's adjusted from the last time I saw you. The website is frbillnicholas.com. That's FRBILLNICHOLAS, frbillnicholas.com, all lowercase, although I don't think that matters. And you'll see some of my writings and some of my homilies and some of my teachings. I'm working on a series right now called Catholic Basics, in which, in rather brief videos that a good friend of mine is helping me work on, answer basic questions of Catholic teaching or Catholic practice. And so hopefully it'll be a success, and success or not, hopefully I can continue doing it for at least the months, if not the years to come. But in terms of the Crusades, there are wonderful works out there, recently written histories that I've been reading recently, ever since Barack Obama at that prayer breakfast made his remark about the Crusades and the Inquisition, which is another interesting part of our church's history and European history. But, you know, some of these histories are just very insightful, very informative, and really debunks much of the myths we've been hearing, especially in the 20th century, with regard to such things as the Crusades, and even, if you can believe it, the Inquisition, which is another ominous part of European history.
Which is something we're going to get into a little bit down the road. Thank you so much for coming by today. We really appreciate it, Father.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
Happy to have you here. That's Father Bill Nicholas. FRBillNicholas.com. Check it out. He's got a cool website. He's a cool guy. I've known him for a long time. And a lot of great insight. And he even threw a Game of Thrones reference in there.
And I actually had to look up what he was talking about, and I found it. And he's dead on it.
See, there you go, man. You get a little bit of everything.